You're listening to Focus on VOCM.
More conversation with Arlo Guthrie coming up here on VOCM's Focus.
I don't want a pickle. Just want to ride on my motorcycle. And I don't want a tickle. I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. I don't want to die. Just want to ride on my motorcycle. Oh, it was late last night, the other day. I thought I'd go up and see Ray. So I went up and say what I don't want a pickle. I just want to ride on the motorcycle. And I don't want a tickle. I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. And I I was on my bike, running to a friend named Mike. Running to a friend named Mike. My Mike no longer has a bike, he cries. I don't want a pickle. I just want to ride my motorcycle.
Now, throughout your career, Mr. Guthrie, you must have had a lot of different influences on your music itself. Now, you were close. You mentioned Pete Seeger. You performed with him on a regular basis over the years in your career. How would you describe your relationship with Pete? And I guess, you know, you say growing up you heard him, but knowing him, playing with him, how big of an influence was that on your career?
Well, Pete is probably the biggest influence on my career, not just as a musician, but as a human being. I mean, he was a wonderful guy. And he had this, you know, he had a conviction that music could change the world. And of course, he was right, as far as I'm concerned. And playing with him, I learned all of the little tricks and the little things you learn as a performer, as an entertainer. You know, how to deal with an audience, and no one related to an audience as well as Pete. He could have people singing along with him on songs that they'd never heard before, but he was able to teach it to them in such a way that it didn't feel like you were in a classroom or had to learn something, and he would inspire people to do that. And to me, when you inspire people who come to hear you, magic happens. And Pete was a master at that. Not only that, he was a scholar, so that any time I came across a song or a tune that I didn't know the origins of or was more inquisitive about, I would call Pete up and say, Pete, where did this come from? And he would know. He would say, well, there was a guy in West Africa who played this on a guitar, and it crossed the Atlantic in, you know, 1820 or something like that, and it got picked up by this guy. And he knew the whole history of not just the songs, but the phrases of songs. And he was a real music scholar as well as a great performer. And I think I learned more from him, not just about the music, but about what it meant to be a musician and entertainer, the responsibility that comes with inspiring people to create a better world, all of those things that I learned from Pete.
Now, your music career, I guess you're known, just like your father, for singing songs of protest against social injustice. Do you think there's still that element in folk music today?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, music is the original social media. Before there was Facebook and other things, you know, music was the way that people found out what was going on. And they had, a way of creating songs about events, who was getting hung, who was getting married, who was getting buried, who was doing this, who was doing that. That all happened through music. And some of those more interesting songs have outlasted the events, so that the events themselves aren't important anymore, but everybody knows the songs. And we all know examples of that. Every country, every region has songs that about something that happened, you know, a couple hundred years ago. And it's not the event, but everybody knows the songs. And they don't know them because they were sold. It's not like somebody was advertising, learn this song. It's just as kids, you learn songs. And to me, that's what music has always been. And it doesn't matter what kind of music. It doesn't have to be folk music, any music. Anytime somebody is singing a song, it says something. You might not agree with it, or you might not agree with the sentiment that created it, but it says something. When you sing a song that is dumbed down to the point where it doesn't say anything, that's still saying something. It's just not such a great thing. When you pass along and generation after generation, fiddle tunes, dance tunes, you're saying something about what you think is important. And that hasn't changed, and I don't think it ever will.
The crops are all in, the peaches are rotting, the oranges are piled in their creosote dump. They're flying you back to the Mexico border to pay all your money to wait back again. My father's own father, he waded that river. They took all the money he made in his life. My brothers and sisters come working the fruit trees, and they rode the trucks till they took down and died. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportees. Some of us are illegal and others not wanted. Our work contract's out and we have to move on. 600 miles to the Mexico border. They chase us like outlaws, like rustlers and thieves. We died in your hills and we died on your deserts. We died in your valleys, we died on your plains. We died in your trees and we died in your bushes. Both sides of the river, we've died just the same. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportees. The sky plane caught fire over Los Gatos Canyon. Like a fireball of lightning, it shook all our hills. And who are these friends all scattered like dry leaves? The radio says they are just deportees. Is this the best way we can grow our big orchards? Is this the best way we can grow our good fruit? To fold like dry leaves and to rot on your topsoil and be known by no name except deportees. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportees.
You're going to be here in our province in just about a month's time. Have you ever been to Newfoundland before?
No, and I've been dying to go for decades.
Okay, so you are obviously a bit of aware of our province. Have you ever been introduced to any of our artists? Are you aware of any of the musicians that come out of our province?
I don't know. You know, you meet people, you talk to them, you love their music, but you don't always ask them where they're from.
Do you get the chance, I guess, when you're on tour to take in the local scenes of the stops that you go to?
It depends. You know, normally the way we tour these days, we're sort of in and out. And so, you know, I'm going up just by myself, which doesn't happen very often these days. So I'll be doing a solo performance, which is kind of fun for me. It's a little more work, because what I really love is playing with other people, and whether that's on stage or sitting around the house or whatever, that's just more fun. However, for this 2016 summer, I'll be between bands, as it were, and I might have a little more time to get away and you know, see what's going on at festivals and other events like that. I always am keen to hear what other people are doing, but you don't always get a chance to do it. So at a regular show, you know, we get in the morning, start setting up, and we don't get out till, you know, I don't know, 10, 11 at night. By that time, you're dead tired. You go to sleep, you get on the bus, and go to the next place. So there's not usually a whole lot of time to go out and explore and hear stuff. If there is, I'll take advantage of it. If there's not, we'll be back to do that another time.
Now, you mentioned you're coming solo this time around. So obviously, you have a couple of different scenarios for shows, if you have the full band or just yourself. What will people see in attendance, the fans on stage from you on the 5th of July?
I haven't figured it out yet.
You're still working away at it.
I probably won't think about it too hard after doing this for close to 60 years. You know, it's like carrying around a suitcase. You got clothes for every occasion. If it's too cold, you got something. If it's too warm, you got something. You know, if it's raining, you got something. So I will have something in the baggage of songs and stories and whatever. And by the time I get there, we will have already done a few of the shows, so I'll have a handle on what I'm doing. But I haven't got that handle yet. I don't know what I'll be doing.
Sure, whatever you do, you're going to have people in our audience singing along with you. A lot of excitement around the news that you are going to be here in the province, in our capital city, on July the 5th, the Arts and Culture Center, with tickets still on sale through the box office. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up today?
You know, I love going to places I haven't been, especially places I've been threatening to go to for a very long time. It's not that far from where I live. I live up in New England, so, you know, in the western part of Massachusetts. But it's one of those places that there's no easy way to get there. That's where you guys live. You're out there, and, I mean, it might be easy to get from one place to another once you're there, but getting to there is not the easiest thing in the world. So once we're there, I'm planning to, you know, explore as much as I can, meet people, have fun, take it easy, have a drink, you know, go get something to eat, all the normal things that people do. And I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to entertaining you while you're here, looking forward to meeting you in person. But it's very nice to meet you and be introduced to you through the phone line today. Tom, it's greatly appreciated.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
590 VOCM.